This is a section of scripture that for years and years has always been right there on my heart. And in fact, I'll never forget my last day of Bible school. There was one of the guys who was one of the overseers of the school. He came and he felt like he needed to share something with me. And I remember he quoted Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 10, and just spoke some things over my life. And so it's always been kind of a theme. And so every now and then I revert back to it. And today is definitely one of those days. Next week will be as well. And so Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 10, it says, "The hand of the Lord was on me. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley." Now, before you get nervous, I'm going to explain this. So let me read it and then I'll explain it, okay? "It was full of bones," verse 2, "and he led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And this is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath," say breath, "I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Notice they're emphasizing the word breath there over and over. Verse 7, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is life-giving and it is life-changing. And I pray that as we use this scripture today, I pray that it will awaken some things in our heart and help us to see what you can do in our lives. And I pray, God, that everything that would tell us otherwise, every fear, every doubt, every worry, Father, I pray that they would be silenced. And I pray, Lord, that your word would be loud and it would be clear for our ears to hear. And so, Lord, today I pray we would hear your word and I pray we would also be doers of your word. Today I ask for your help in communicating this message. Help me to present it in a life-giving way in the tone you want it presented. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So let's break this down a little bit, because you can read that scripture and say, wow, what in the world? And so let's kind of dive in a little bit and see really what's going on here. And this is a story where there's this guy, his name is Ezekiel, he's a prophet, and the Lord brings him into a valley to give him a vision. And in this vision, he sees a valley that is basically full of skeletons. And they've obviously have been there for a while because they're very, very dry bones. And really, this represents the state of Israel at that time. It had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and the people were scattered all throughout the land because of the captivity. And the Babylonian culture had really become dominant. And so even the Israelites that had been taken captive by the Babylonians, they had lost their sense. They had lost their sense of who God was, and they had fallen prey to idol worship and began to live a lot like the Babylonians had lived. And because of that, they were basically losing their identity as a nation. And so many people were losing their lives. And so the Lord brings this prophet Ezekiel out to this valley, basically to give him a picture, to help him to see kind of this is the state of where we're at. And I don't know if you've ever had one of those meetings before, maybe at home, where you got to sit down with the family and just say, hey, let's have a family meeting because this is kind of how things are going and some things need to change. How many of y'all ever been involved in that meeting? How many fellas ever been asked to go to the bedroom and it wasn't for what you thought? Come on, how many of y'all know it wasn't for what you thought? It was a whole nother conversation. I know people who do that who don't even have kids. And I don't understand that. You could do it in the kitchen, but anyway. So the Lord basically is saying, hey, we got to have a meeting. And he brings Ezekiel to this valley and just kind of shows him the state of what's going on. And Even though the Israelites had turned away from God, and even though they had been taken captive, God's plan all along was to restore them, because these were God's chosen people, and God wanted them. God really wanted them. And so he was using this to kind of help them to see their need for God. And I want you to know that there are some situations that are in your life that God will use to help you see your need for him. Amen? Elbow your neighbor and say, maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. God will use it to help you see your need for him. Now, you have to understand some things. When you start reading the Bible, especially the Old Testament, I mean, you can go really, really deep. There's a lot of pictures in there. There's a lot of symbols. There's a lot of types, and it's really, really deep. But I want to simplify it a little bit for you this morning, because you can look at this stuff in Ezekiel chapter 37 and say, man, I don't even know where they're going with this, but this is weird. Bones, breath, all that. Where you going, preacher man? So let me set it up like this. When you read the Old Testament, you have to understand that it is a picture of what is to come in the New Testament. So it's a setup. It's like an illustration. Many of us, we learn good by seeing it, not just by hearing, but we need some visuals. We need an illustration. And so if you will, the Old Testament is like an illustration of what is to come. It's kind of like the big picture to help us understand the depth of what would be presented to us in the New Testament. And so the New Testament, it shows us the church, but the Old Testament, when we see Israel, Israel is a picture of the church. And so the Lord brings him to this valley to show him the state of Israel. And we can see it as the Lord takes us to help us to see the state of the church. Now, when we say the church, we're not just talking about an organization, you know, so-and-so Church of God United in Christ and all this stuff. Basically, when we say church, we're talking about us. We are the church. Look at your neighbor and just preach to him for a moment and just tell him, hey, you're the church. That's not good preaching right there. That's the kind of stuff that puts people to sleep, all right? Look at your neighbor. Come on, get fired up for a second. Look at your neighbor and tell him, we are the church. That's good preaching, Gary. Amen, brother. Get a handkerchief out. You keep that up, man. So he shows them this picture of what's going on in the nation, and I believe it can be a picture of what is going on in the church, because just like the Israelites were greatly influenced by the Babylonians, it's very easy for us to become influenced by the world. Can I hear an amen? Because there is a strong culture that is out there that makes us believe that we're missing out on something. And as much as we would like to say it just happens to teenagers with all the peer pressure, even as adults, we see things and we want it. We want to be like that. We don't want to be left out. And we want to fit in. We want everything that everybody else has. But sometimes we just can't have it. And so we throw fits just like the world throws fits. And I'm preaching now. But that's the reality of some things that we begin to do. And we have no clue sometimes how influenced we can become by the world and by the culture that we live in, to the point that things in our lives begin to break down. Anybody ever had something break down in their life before? You ever broke down in your car on the side of the road? True story, Cynthia and I had just started dating. Just started dating. June 1st, we were dating, and it was like 2 weeks later, and we were going to a youth camp in Eunice, Louisiana. If you ever been to Eunice, basically all it is rice fields and crawfish ponds and duck hunting. That's about it, okay? And so we were going over the Mississippi River Bridge in Baton Rouge, and she made it to the top of the bridge in her Beretta GT, black with red trim. I mean, this car was sweet. But when she was coming down on the other side, it died. And she took the momentum just to coast to the other side of the bridge, and she pulled right off on the side of the interstate. And this was before the day of cell phones. And so I'm driving a church van coming from behind, and I see my girlfriend's car on the side of the interstate. And so you know what you're supposed to do when you see your girlfriend's car on the side of the interstate? That's why you don't have a girlfriend. The brother needs some prayer. You pull over. Feel like we need to do a men's conference. Now, she didn't pull all the way over. Like, she didn't get on the grass. We're talking like the tire was on the edge of that yellow line. Okay? So I pull over, and I mean, the car is dead. It's done. It's over. I mean, it's just dead. So I pull over to help her. And I'm like, baby, why didn't you pull the car? I wasn't even calling her baby yet. I mean, I don't know why I'm saying that. I guess that's what, you know. Cynthia, why did you do that? And so we tried to push it over as far as we could. So now I'm just checking it out, and we figured out it was the alternator. And so we drive all over Baton Rouge trying to find the right fit for the thing. She gets in the van, takes off, and goes to camp, and I'm stuck behind trying to fix this thing because it was literally falling apart. And a lot of times we're just on our way, and things in our life begins to happen, and things begin to fall apart. It can happen in your marriage. It can happen with your kids. It can happen with your stuff. I heard of a guy this morning on his way to church. His car broke down. It happens. I mean, things happen to us in our life. But whenever we start breaking down and it stays that way for a long period of time, sometimes we settle into a state that we didn't know that we were going to settle into. And so the children of Israel, they had been scattered. They were all over the place. And they just kind of settled in that place. And in the place of settling, they kind of got comfortable because they found out even though it was broken down, it wasn't so bad because they had figured out a way to make it work. Come on, anybody ever said that before? We just gonna figure out how to make it work. And even though you're figuring out how to make it work, it's still broken down. And so this Ezekiel prophet, he goes to this valley and the Lord's showing him the state. They're broken down. They're just kind of stuck. And it's kind of like God is saying, you know what, Ezekiel? This wasn't my plan for them. This wasn't the way it was supposed to look. They wasn't supposed to be dead. They wasn't supposed to be scattered. Later on in verse 10, he shows them a picture of an army standing on their feet, advancing. It's like God's showing them this is what they were meant to be. They were meant to be standing and in order and advancing. But we see a picture of them scattered and broken down. You ever sat there and said, I was meant to live for more than this? I thought it would be better than this? I'm not talking about because you don't like your car. I'm just talking about because the state of things in your life. You thought by this point it would be better. You thought the marriage would find some rhythm by now. But it's still kind of like, we're still fighting like every couple minutes. Like throwdown fight. And we thought it would be better by now. And so we see the brokenness. And in this story, it's like the Lord just shows them one moment in time. He doesn't show them all the history. He doesn't show them all the future. He just shows them that one moment. And what I see in this story is the Lord brings Ezekiel to this valley to show him a problem, but also a possibility. He shows him the problem, makes it obvious, but he also helps him to see the possibility. And this is what I'm praying for today. I'm praying that we can see our problems clearly, but I'm also praying that we can see the possibilities of what God can do in our problems. Amen? Come on, I know we all got problems. There's a couple of you who do not, but we all got some problems. Am I right? Look at your neighbor and tell him, I think you got a problem. Some of you, you've been waiting to say that. This is your opportunity to come clean. I think you got a problem. This is a safe place. She can't hit you. Going to the movies is a lot of fun. In fact, a few weeks back, went to the show with my boys. And it's a little bit expensive, but, you know, big screen, surround sound, popcorn, all of that. You got to love it. The last time I went to the show with my boys, we're sitting there in the big, you know, IMAX theater. Got all our set up, waiting for the show to start, and this guy comes in, and I mean, sits next to me. Now, the theater was sold out, and they have reserved seats, and so this guy sits next to me, and this guy is intoxicated. Like, intoxicated to the point that you can smell it. And not only is he intoxicated, but he's going to add to his intoxication because at the particular movie theater we went to, they're serving drinks. And so he sits down, he has his drink, and I mean, this guy, it is a strong odor. So much so, my son leans over and says, Dad, you did something? What is that smell? I mean, seriously, it was strong. And the guy was sweating. He had three ladies with him. I don't know if he was nervous or trying to impress them, or I don't know what the deal was. And so this guy, he's just sitting next to me, and it was just strong. He gets up three times during the movie to go get more drinks. Evidently, the guy didn't know what was going. Anyway, at this movie, I'm just telling you that to make the story more interesting, okay? So at the movie, they showed, I counted 10 previews. Now, how many of you like previews at the movies? You know, like, goodness gracious, people, I love the previews. They're awesome. 10 of them. I mean, I'm just sitting there like, this is great. It's like half an hour worth of previews. This is the best thing ever. And so we're watching the previews and everything. And this is something about previews. Previews are, they also call them movie trailers. they only show you a glimpse of certain scenes. They don't tell you the entire story. They just give you enough to make you want to come and see the show. And so they just show particular scenes, enough scenes to kind of prime the pump to make you interested so that you will go back to see the movie. And it leaves you wondering what is going to happen. And so you purchase the tickets to go see the rest of the show. And I feel like in this scene right here, in this vision that the Lord gives Ezekiel, he only shows him like one scene and then an outcome. That's it. He shows them they're broken. This is what can happen. They're broken. This is what I have for them. And at this point, his perspective is influenced by what he sees with his eyes. And so I want you to imagine if you're Ezekiel and you're looking out over this valley and all you see is a bunch of skeletons, you're thinking, it's not a good place to live right here. I wouldn't want to be there. And the Lord begins to show him this is Israel. And so he's realizing Israel is broken. We've got a problem. And can I tell you, that's what it sounds like throughout the world today, because when most people look at the church, this is what they say. The church is this. The church is that. The church needs help. The church is broken down. All they know to say is what is wrong with the church. Am I right? And so not only does he go in and see the problem, but then the Lord begins to speak to him some things to help him to see the possibility. In fact, the Lord asks him this. Okay, here's the problems. You see bones, okay? Can these bones live? Now, if the Lord asks you something like that, you need to be really smooth with your answer. Because I want you to notice Ezekiel didn't say yes. He didn't say no. You know what he said? Only you know, Lord. Safe answer, am I right? Ezekiel, can these bones live? Oh, only you know, Lord. Most of the time, we would settle into the I don't know. If I were to ask you, is your marriage going to make it? You would say, I hope so. I don't know. Are your kids going to turn out all right? Oh, in Jesus' name, they will. Please, Lord. Are you going to turn out all right? I need a miracle. The Lord is asking him, even though there is a great problem, is there still a possibility? You can look through the history of Israel and you can see their up and downs. You can see one moment, yes, Jesus, yes, Lord, we're following you into the wilderness. We're going to the promised land. Then they get to the promised land and they start worshiping other idols. I mean, they are just up and down, just like so many people are. And God still had a plan for their life. And even though they had many failures, even though they had many problems, is there still a possibility? And I would say that this is where it really gets interesting, because this scene only tells us one part of their history, but it doesn't tell us the entire story. And I have a feeling that a lot of people are interpreting their life from one season, from one scene. They're not looking at the whole thing. They're looking at one struggle they went through, one problem that they have, and they're filtering everything in their whole entire life through that one thing, because they just feel like because of that one thing, there is no possibility of anything going right because of that one thing, because of that one issue, because we went through that 10 years ago, because we're dealing with this right now, and because it's so prevalent, and because it's such a problem, and because it looks so much like death, we can't see the possibility. Now, how many of you know somebody who can just spot a problem a mile away? Like going to the restaurant today, walk in the restaurant, boom, there it is. I got a problem. We can't eat here. Let's go. Next restaurant, nope, can't eat here either. How many of y'all know that person? Don't raise your hand if you are that person. And if you're sitting next to your spouse, you're probably saying it's them, but don't do that because you'll need marriage counseling. But how many of you, seriously, you know somebody who's really good at identifying problems. Now, these people are necessary. I need you to understand. Don't throw them under the bus. These people are necessary because sometimes we like to just pretend like everything is good when there is really a problem. And you can't find a solution if you don't know the problem. Okay? And so there's a lot of people who are pretending like they don't have problems and just trying to decorate their life, making it look really good. But I want you to know, you can make a problem look as good as you want. You still got a problem. Listen, if you're a college student and you're taking all them crazy math classes with all those problems, you can draw every picture you want on that paper, you still got a problem. Listen, if you're in debt, You can do everything. You get your little envelope system all day. You can do all the Dave Ramsey stuff. At the end of the day, at the end of the month, if you broke, you got a problem. And we have a tendency to pretty things up instead of finding the possibility of change. And in this story right here, it's very obvious. This nation that God had meant for great things was missing out. And I have a feeling that there's a lot of people in this room today who are missing out on God's best for their life because we're prettying up our problems, because we don't see the possibilities. You see what happens? We settle for pretty instead of going for the possibility. Come on, somebody. And in this story right here, Lord begins to speak to Ezekiel. And I believe it's something that we can glean from this story that's going to help us. So as you read through Ezekiel 37, God gives him something to see, but he also has something for him to speak. There's two parts to it. First, the Lord tells him to speak to the bones to hear the word of the Lord. He's telling them to hear what God says. And this is what he tells them: dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, it's almost weird because it's like he's speaking to the problem. We speak about the problem. The Lord is telling him to speak to the problem. Okay? And I need you to grab that, because we like to talk around a lot. And we would just talk about the problem back and forth, back and forth. In fact, I would say a lot of our disagreements is coming because we're just talking around the problem instead of talking to the problem. Now, some of you are like, I'm going to talk to them whenever we get home today. I'm not trying to start anything. I'm trying to show you something here. So he says, dry bone, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will make breath enter you, and watch this, and you will come to life. He starts speaking to this problem, letting it know you're going to change. This is going to change. I remember the way my dad corrected me when I was a kid, there was no option involved. It was kind of like, here's the problem, and he would say, okay, this is what's going to happen. And that was bottom line. That's not typically the parenting style of today, but I want you to know there was no option there. It was, here's the problem, this is what you're going to do, and everything's going to be better, okay? And it's like in this story, this is kind of what's happening. The Lord said, you're going to speak to these bones, you're going to tell them that I'm going to put breath in them, and they're going to come to life again. Only one problem here. It's this: what if I don't believe that can happen? If I don't believe that can happen, I'm probably not going to say it. I'm probably going to think that is ridiculous to be talking to my problem. People are going to think I have another problem if I'm talking to my problem. Am I right? And so that's why we don't do it. And honestly, it's a fear. And it's not a fear of what could happen. It's a fear of what people would think if we did it. One of the biggest issues that we have as a society, and even in the church today, is that we fear other people. We're worried what they would think of us. If I lift my hands too high in church, I don't know, maybe they're going to think I'm crazy. I just want to be authentic, Pastor Wade. And so I don't have to lift my hands all the way. I can worship the Lord from down here. It's all these different things that we come up with. Where is that coming from? It's a fear. We fear people. We fear the people in our own house. We fear the people in our own church. We fear our kids. We fear our spouse. And we don't even realize it. And so when those problems come up, we can't speak to the problem because we're afraid of them. But something in us tells us change needs to happen. And the only way the change is going to happen is not just talking about the problem, but speaking to it. Why did Jesus say, if you speak to the mountain, tell it to move, it would be moved? He's saying, speak to the problem. Speak to it. You got to have something in you, some life to speak to it. So he's telling Ezekiel, these bones are dead. Speak to them, and I'm going to make life enter into those bones. So he's instructed to speak life into a dead situation. And then on top of it, this is where it really, really starts to get weird. This is really where we start to step back into the hippie days, because then the Lord tells him to speak to the winds. Not just one wind, but four winds. And right there, many of you are like, I am out, because this is getting weirder and weirder as this story goes. But what you have to understand is that Old Testament, that wind, is a picture of New Testament Holy Spirit. Okay? Just like, listen, we could go back to Genesis. When God created man, he formed him from the dust of the earth, and he breathed life into his nostrils, and he came alive. And so when he begins to speak to the wind, what is he doing? It's basically a picture of prayer. right here, where he's beginning to call on the Lord to come and bring life to the situation. And as you read the story, as he's speaking to the problem, speaking to the bones, and as he's calling on the Holy Spirit, these things that were broken up down and falling apart begin to come together. Slowly it begins to come together, and now we're hearing a noise. And it's not an annoying noise, but it's the sound of life. Now there is a new sound in the house. There's a new sound in the land. We can hear the sound of life, and it's much like on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. All the people gathered around because they were bewildered at what? The sound. They can hear the sound of life, and people are drawn to life. And so he begins to speak, and look at what he says. He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesy like the Lord said, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. We've got to look at this and say, what is it to this that I need in my own life? What is it that I can use from this to apply to some of the things that I'm dealing with personally, that we're dealing with as a family? Now, this would seem crazy and really strange to speak to the wind, to speak to the bones. But when you start seeing the big picture, remember, all he sees is one scene. But when you start looking at the big picture, this isn't the first time that a wind is blowing. This isn't the first time that someone is speaking to something that is dead and it's coming to life. So when you look at it all in context, it begins to make sense. But when you look at it in just one scene, it seems kind of weird. And for most of us, we look at things just in the season that we're in, just in the scene that we're dealing with, and it doesn't make sense to us. But when you step back and see the big picture, you start to realize, wait a minute, I'm beginning to see how the Lord is working. I'm beginning to see how the Lord is directing us. I'm beginning to see how God all along really did have a plan for us. Right now, I don't see it because of what we're dealing with. But when I see the big picture, it's obvious that God has a plan. When you read through some of these chapters in the Bible, I mean, it is ugly. Seriously, when you read through some of the stories, it's like, what is wrong with these people? And these were the very people that God had promised so much to. And in that one story, you would say, I wouldn't give them a thing. But as you keep reading, you would see the love of God. You would see the compassion and the mercy of God poured out because there is a bigger picture. See, the problem that you're dealing with right now, it's real. But can I tell you, there's a bigger picture. And if we can see the possibilities right now, then we will see God's plan. We will see God's promise. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of missing out. I'm afraid of standing before God in heaven and not him judging me for my sins, because Jesus covers that. I'm afraid of him pulling out that big file and say, I had this for you, and I had this for you, and I had that for you, and I had this plan for your life, and I had that plan. Remember what it says in the book of Psalms, his plans for me are too numerous, I can't even write them down. All of these plans, and I would look there, and in my mind, I would begin to think, well, I didn't do that because of this, and I couldn't do that because of that. I couldn't do this because of this, and I couldn't do it because of that. And that's where the judgment comes upon us. And you know what? Honestly, God doesn't even have to judge us. That's where we feel the weight of missing out on all the glory that God had for us. And usually it happens because of scenes in our life. Because maybe something happened at one moment in your life that we have allowed to define us over and over. And when it should have been a season where we're celebrating, we're still fighting. We're still arguing over the same thing. How is it going to change? I want to use this story as a platform today to kind of help us to overcome some of these things, to see the impossible, to see that God can do something in these crazy situations. So here's the first thing. I want to get really practical here this morning. The first thing we have to do is we have to be able to see it. We need some vision. We got to see clearly. We got to see through all these different pretty things that we put up, and we got to see what the real problem is. In Proverbs 29, it says this, where there is no vision, watch this, people perish. When you can't see it, we begin to die. When you can't see what God has for you, you lose hope. So where there is no vision, the people perish. Ezekiel saw the valley of dry bones. He saw the problem. But the question wasn't, can he identify the problem? The question was, can he see the possibility of life even though there is a problem? Can you see the possibilities even though you see the problem? Can you see the possibility for your child that may have been diagnosed even though there is a major problem? Can you see the possibilities for your marriage even though there might be a problem? Can you see perhaps what God can do? Can these bones live again? Can you see an army standing when all you see is bones that have fallen? Can you still see life even though there is an abundance of death? Can you see light even though there is darkness? Can you see it? Here's a better question. Can you still see Jesus even when all of this is around you? Can you still see him? Now, here's the deal. In order for us to have vision, we've got to be able to see what God is seeing. And that means this. That means I've got to look to him. And this stuff is really, honestly, whenever it always comes back to this, surrendering to God and seeking him. I mean, I don't know if you guys have picked up on this yet, but it kind of just like it's repetitious in every single thing of our life. It always comes back to surrendering to him and always seeking him, always looking to him because we need help. And in this situation, in every situation in our life, are you going to look at him? Are you going to find him? Are you going to open your heart to him and allow him to come and fill your life? Or are we going to allow these scenes to continue to dictate what we think and what we feel? So watch this. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2. And we had said that all the world had this great culture and it was very influential and it was causing people to live certain ways. But then God sends the Holy Spirit, which is a whole new influence, a spiritual influence, which would cause people to come alive with his plans and his purposes for their life. And because they were filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, it says that they begin to see dreams and visions. They could see things they had never seen before. And so for you and I to really look at this, most of the time we look at it with a critical eye, but what if we begin to look at things with a spiritual eye? What if we begin to look through it through the lens of the Holy Spirit instead of the lens of our feelings and our emotions? Amen? See, I believe the Holy Spirit can touch your life to the point to where you experience it even emotionally. Okay? And so some of those emotions that aren't lining up that you're trying to train, listen, we need some help, and I believe the Holy Spirit can help us with that. Amen? And so watch this. The Holy Spirit, he comes and brings vision so that we can see. And there's a verse in 1 Corinthians that I absolutely love, chapter 2, verse 9. It says this, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love them. But it was to us that God revealed these things." How? By the Spirit. We can't see the possibilities without the Holy Spirit. And so God sent the Holy Spirit not just to make you feel better, but to help you to see the possibilities of what he can do in the middle of your situation. So yes, the Holy Spirit is a counselor, but he's also a leader. He's also a guide. He's also a comforter. He's also someone who teaches us and trains us. Are you seeing the big picture now of our need for the Holy Spirit? See, without the Holy Spirit, all we have is our own interpretation of what's going on. That's all we've got. But through the Holy Spirit, now we have spiritual eyes to see that even though there's a problem, there's always a possibility. It was to us that God revealed these things by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, watch this, gives us a new perspective. That's what he does. He gives us a new perspective, a godly perspective. And I need you to know, it's not just a positive outlook, but it's a spiritual perception to see the possibilities of what God can do because he is present. Amen? I need you to know today that in the middle of all your problems, God is still present. He is still present. And if Jesus is here, anything can happen. If Jesus is there, miracles can happen. We don't always see it because we're just playing with the pretty when we need to really see Jesus in the situation. Amen? So here's the action step. See the problem, but seek the Savior. You have to see the problem, or else you're not going to change it. You have to see it, and that's what the Lord did. He brought Ezekiel out there, and he showed him, this is where you're at. This is where we're at right now. See the problem. Most of us, that's as far as we go. Here's the problem, now figure it out. But the Lord then begins to show him the solution to it, which was the Holy Spirit. And for us, it's always looking to Jesus. So we need him. We need Jesus. We need the perspective of God's word to correctly see through the problem. I can see it, but I need to see through it. And how am I going to do it? I need the word of God, which was inspired how? By the Holy Spirit. So the word, like it says, is a lamp to my feet and guide to my path. It helps me to understand the context of everything, because a lot of things in your life are happening all the time. You're going to have problems always. You're going to. But if I have God's word, I have a better perspective. And if I have his spirit, I'm going to keep going even though this is coming at me. Are you grabbing this today? So I have to see the problem, but I must continually seek the Savior. Continually seek the Savior. That means I always have to go to God. I know you have friends. Go to them. But your friends need to be faithful in saying, you got to go to Jesus. Amen. We don't just need someone who comforts us. We need someone that points us. You need Jesus. Okay? See the problem. Seek the Savior. Here's the second part. Not only do we have to see it and have to have vision, but we need to say it. Meaning this. We need to speak life. We got to speak life to it. Are you speaking life over that area that is falling apart? What are you saying to it? Are you speaking life over that marriage? Are you speaking life over your kids? What are we saying? Because I have learned that what you say, you wind up seeing. You say it enough, you're going to see it. Now, let me address something right here. Because many folks, in their attempt to be real, in their attempt to be authentic, can only see problems. So they speak what they see, bones. All they can do is tell you what the problem is. And for some reason, we feel like that's what authenticity is. Just being able to tell you what's wrong. And can I tell you, that's just half of it. That's not all of it. And honestly, if we only say half of it, we're going to fall into a trap of complaining. Now, I know that's strong for a summer message, but let's preach it. Authenticity is not the license to complain. Authenticity is the ability to see the problem, but also to see a real God in the face of that problem. Amen? And so let's not fall into a trap of just wanting to be real to give us the authority and the license just to complain about everything because I just want to be real. Amen? Because being real like that is going to lead us to a place where all we're doing is speaking death over it. When we want to speak life. So this is what speaking life means. It's simply saying what God would say into that situation. It's saying what God would say. Doesn't mean you play God. He's God. I just say what he said. And so whenever I see sickness, I can say healing. And that healing doesn't depend on me. It depends on him. So I just say what he says because he's a healer. When I see bondage, I say freedom. Because Isaiah 61 says he sets the captives free. I'm just saying what he said. That's all I'm saying. Are we saying what God's saying? Or are we saying what we're feeling? Over that marriage, are you saying what God's saying? Or are you saying what you're feeling? To the kids, because they're out of school, they're home all summer long. They didn't clean their room. They're sleeping late. Food all over the place. Not cleaning up. Not doing their chores. What are we going to say? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to say what the problem is. Amen? You got to identify the problem, but also got to speak to the possibility. Are you speaking to the possibility of restoration in your home? Are you speaking to the possibility of healing? Are you speaking to the possibility of that kid, he'll never get right with God? What are we saying? Think of that. What are we saying? We're prophesying death when we have the power and the authority to speak life. I don't see change, but I still believe God can change them because there's no one too hard that God cannot change. Amen? It's all in our confession. What are we saying? Are we speaking life or are we speaking death? So we have choice. We can either say what we can feel or we can say what God is saying. We can speak by faith or we're going to speak by our feelings. It's your choice. What are you going to say? So Ephesians 4 says this, Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that words may give, watch this, grace to those who hear. So that our words may give grace to those who hear. Are our words seasoned with God's grace? Are they giving people hope? Or are we just tearing them down? So here's the action step. Pray about it before you say something about it. Pray about it before you say something about it. Before you go and put your foot in your mouth, trust me, I've done it a million times. Pray about it before you say something about it. Today, many of us here, we're struggling with things that seem to be falling apart. And as simple as this message sounds, I believe if we begin to put these action steps into work, we're going to see some things in our lives change. Watch this. We'll see the culture of our families change. You'll see the culture of your workplace change. You'll see the relationships in your life begin to change. Are we speaking grace? Are we speaking hope? Notice I didn't say skip over the problem, just talk all happy. That isn't what we said. You got to see the problem. Yes, you do have to deal with it, but you got to speak to it as well. Are we speaking to our problems? And if so, what are you saying? What are you saying to those problem areas of your life? And listen, even preparing this message, I have to be honest, Lord's just kind of checking me a little bit. Because what comes natural is to complain about it. What comes natural is to get angry about it. It comes so natural. But whenever I turn on those spiritual eyes, whenever I begin to seek God, whenever I begin to pray about it, my perspective begins to change. Whenever I begin to worship the Lord, my thoughts about it begin to change, because now I can see the possibilities. And today, in the valley of dry bones in your life, are you prophesying life to it? Are you speaking the word of the Lord to it? Are you praying about it? Or are we just talking about it? Are we just getting real with that friend and telling, man, I don't like this. This is going on. This is going on. I feel better now. I got it off my chest. But nothing's changed. Let's begin to speak life to it today. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you're here today and as you're hearing this message, as simple as it sounds, it challenges us because it's hard to do. It makes you think about a lot of things in your life. And whenever we say things like, don't interpret your entire life off of one seeing, you begin to immediately think about how there are certain things in your life that have been dominant. Things that happen to you that are still controlling you, that make you think certain ways. In fact, think certain ways about God because of something that happened at one point in your life. Today, can I tell you that God's got a promise for you? Today, can I speak this to you, that there is a possibility that God has more for your life than what you expected? Because we even get into the point where we start to punish ourselves because of what's happened. But God sent Jesus to come and forgive. He sent Jesus to come and restore. He sent Jesus to come and redeem. That was the promise that God had. And this is really what the Lord was showing this prophet in this story, was that even though it's broken down, I promise to restore it. I promise to turn it around. And maybe today you just needed a little bit of hope. Maybe today you just needed to hear something that would just turn the light on to help you to say, I'm willing to take another step, Pastor. I'm willing to keep going. I didn't see this possibility, but this morning my faith has been awakened, and I believe that God could do it. I don't know how, but I believe He could do it. And if you're here this morning and you have a real life problem, you have something in your life that is broken down. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's some things at work. Maybe it's your finances. Just a number of different things. Maybe there are some things from your past that just make you feel like you're broken and that you're not everything that God wants you to be. I want to pray with you this morning. And I just want to ask, let's take a few moments and just go to the Lord. I want you, if that's you, you say, Pastor, I got some brokenness in my life. I just want you to take a moment right here and stand with me, and I just want to pray over you today. It could be a health problem. It could be a marriage problem. Why don't you just stand right now? You listen, you won't be alone, I promise you. You won't be the only one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And those of you who are standing, I want you right here just to lift your hands to heaven, just like a person who would surrender. And I just want to pray over you right now. And those who are in their seats, as you're sitting next to them, I want you to pray along with me for everyone that is standing. We don't have to know their situation. The Lord knows, but we just want to speak life into their situations. So let's pray. Say, Lord, I thank you for every person that is standing today. They can see the problems in their life. They see the brokenness. Maybe it's a marriage problem. Maybe it's something with a child. Maybe it's a health condition. Maybe it's a parent, Father. Maybe it's a work problem. Maybe it's just a lot of things that have built up over time. It's affecting every area of their life, Father. And they feel scattered. They're trying to get it together, and they need help. And so, Lord, today we look to your word where Ezekiel began to speak to those bones. And, Father, today we speak to those problems. And we speak the possibility of life in the name of Jesus. We speak restoration in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you can do miracles. And so, Lord, together as a church, God, we agree with them as they stand today, believing that you're going to work on their behalf. And I pray now, Lord, that you would begin to open their eyes to see your possibilities. Open their eyes to see that you can, Father, that it is your promises, God, that it is your purposes for their life. And so, Lord, today we pray for them, God, not only that they would be strengthened, but Father, they would hear your word and apply it, and their faith would grow, but they would also speak your word. So, Lord, today we pray for a boldness for every one of them to be able to speak to that problem, to be able to speak to that mountain. And I pray, Lord, that as they speak, they begin to see it come together, and what was once out of order, God, comes together standing like an army. And I pray, Lord, that they would be able to advance. So, Lord, today we pray that the Holy Spirit would come and just fill their lives. Give them clear vision to see. Give them clear vision to see, but also give them the boldness to speak. Thank you, Lord, that you give us vision. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. I pray we will see it. I pray we'll speak it. In Jesus' name, amen.